Clyde Pilkington here in the studio of Bible Students Radio, broadcasting today about the good news of the happy God. Did you know that our loving Father brings trials into our lives for our ultimate good? This is why Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose." Paul says all things, absolutely all things, are working together for good. Father is the God of the night as much as He is the God of the day. He's the sovereign of pain and suffering as much as He is of joy and happiness. Take the greatest tragedy the human history has ever known, Calvary. There you'll see the greatest suffering, the greatest evil, the greatest trial this world has ever seen. And it's demonstrated to us the loftiest love we have ever known. And it produced the grandest of all of God's gifts ever given to us. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary is the channel of all God's goodness and riches to us. The ordeal of the crucifixion was not something that our Lord enjoyed. The Son of God learned obedience through the things that He suffered, Hebrews 5:8. And for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the shame and sorrow of Golgotha's tree, Hebrews 12:2. By faith, the Lord Jesus Christ could see beyond the darkness and pain of Calvary, beyond the mist and the shadows, beyond the vapor and the smoke, beyond all of that. He could see the reality of the eternal greatness and divine value, which would be absolutely successful for the complete benefit of the entire of God's creation. The Son had learned what we are now ourselves here to learn: not our will, but Father's be done. He learned that the shame and the curse of the tree must precede the glorious splendor of the crown. He learned that He must first suffer and then enter into His glory. Luke chapter 24, 26, 1 Peter 1, 11. So it is with you and I. For Paul has written in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding weight of glory, lasting for the ages." Rotherham and Concordant both use the phrase "momentary lightness" for that light affliction. And listen how Weymouth puts it: "For this, our light and transitory burden of suffering is achieving for us a preponderating, yes, a vastly preponderating and eternal weight of glory." Christ's way of suffering became the way of glory. So it is with us, as our trials too work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Or as A. Nock puts it, a transcendently transcendent aeonian burden of glory. The heaviness of the weight of that pole that Jesus Christ carried up Golgotha was not even worthy to be compared with the heaviness of the weight of the glory which was waiting for Him on the other side of it. One was momentary, earthly, and the other was glorious and celestial. Both a burden, but one could not be compared with the other. This is why Paul has penned for us in Romans 8:28, "For I account that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now a little music for your edification and enjoyment. Here's Sandy Patty singing "The Via Dolorosa."
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street. but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose día en Jerusalén, los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús, mas la gente se acercaba para